We're going to take a few minutes to remember Broadway director and choreographer Michael Bennett. Bennett died Thursday at the age of 44 from cancer as a result of AIDS. Bennett will be best remembered as the creator of the hit musical A Chorus Line, the longest-running show in Broadway history. But long before that show made him famous, Bennett was a much sought-after choreographer. His credits include collaborating with Stephen Sondheim and Hal Prince on Company and Follies. Just a few days before his death, his 1981 hit, Dreamgirls, was revived on Broadway. I spoke with Michael Bennett in 1985 when he was in Philadelphia with the touring company of Dreamgirls. Bennett told me that as a young boy growing up in Buffalo, New York, he knew he would someday work on Broadway.
I used to come every summer when I was from 11 on, and I would go see all the Broadway shows, and I knew I wanted to be just like Jerry Robbins. He was my idol then. And that, I was very unhappy that I wasn't born in New York. It was like a tragedy. I wanted to be born right on 44th Street in Schubert Alley. I think that would have been perfect for me.
I know that Jerome Robbins has been a great influence on you, and you really admired his choreography.
Mm-hmm. I have only worked with him for 2 hours, my whole
life.
2 hours?
Is that all?
Yes. I mean, when I played Baby John in West Side Story when I was beginning my career, we were going to Europe for a year. And he came in because one of his dance captains had staged the company and everything. And he came in for 2 hours and rehearsed for 2 hours. He gave me one note on one step. Make my arm straighter.
And did that stay with you for the rest of your life?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have done many, many steps where my arms are not always straight, But for that step, they were straight every single performance I did.
When you first came to New York, what you were doing on Broadway was dancing in choruses. Was that your ambition? Did you know what you wanted to do?
No. At 11, I wanted to be just like Jerry Robbins. But, Jerry Robbins started as a chorus dancer. All choreographers start in the chorus. You start as a performer. You become an assistant choreographer. Then you become a choreographer. And then, the director and then producer. With me, it varies with other people. Most people are satisfied doing one or two things. I happen to be a workaholic and a control freak, so I like to have my hands in everything.
How did Chorus Line come about?
The truth is, actually, Chorus Line came out of the Watergate hearings. because it was an idea that I had, and what activated me to do the show was I sat for that summer, remember that famous summer? And I watched those hearings, and I thought, God, we don't have heroes anymore. It's very hard for us now, because the country went through quite an emotional crisis. We couldn't trust our leaders. And I went, but wait, the American people are still great. And Chorus Line says that, in a way. It says we collectively are wonderful. I believe that to this day,
Were the stories in A Chorus Line based on stories of friends of yours?
Yes. Mixed up. Like one character's made up out of half of this girl's life and half of that girl's life and some funny lines.
Did you get any of those friends to actually play the roles?
Yes, some of them did. Some of them didn't.
I always think that auditions for you must be really hard now because you've written the musical about how their personality and identity isn't always revealed during that first audition and they have so much on the line. And they really are individuals. They're not just faceless chorus line dancers. And there you are judging thousands
well,
of people.
Well, Chorus Line goes a little deeper than I normally do at auditions. But it is very important to talk to people in an audition. But also it's about chemistry of a cast. There are people who are neurotic and talented, and there are people, and it's worth putting up with the neurosis, but there are people that are destructively neurotic in terms of a whole company. And you must get a chemistry of a company not only to be able to do the show and do it brilliantly 8 times a week, but to be able to get along.
How can you tell in the short time that you have in those initial auditions if someone's going to be destructively neurotic?
I always audition people 3 times before I hire them.
What do you ask for in a typical audition?
Well, if I'm starting with dancers, I ask for a double pirouette and a time step. And you can tell if people have had any training. And that's all you need to see. And that first, and I eliminate down. Then I actually teach combinations and dance styles and find out. Then you know exactly how much training they've had. And then you ask them about it. Then you talk to them. Then they sing. Then they read. And there's three. I never hire anyone I don't see 3 times. Because somebody can be wonderful in the first audition. And then something happens in the second. Or they're great 3 auditions and you're just, you're thrilled and you write the part and you make it bigger.
Have you ever made any big mistakes with casting?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Can you fire them?
You have to. I mean, it's for the good of the whole show. You can't let a show go down for one person. You just can't. It's very hard to do. But you have to.
Steel yourself beforehand. Do you do it yourself? Do you do the firing yourself?
I always do it myself.
It sounds like that's important to you, to do it yourself.
Well, it's my mistake. It's not their mistake. If I miscast them, it's my mistake. And okay. I owe them an apology.
Were you surprised at a Chorus Line success?
Sure. Thrilled. Ecstatic. Nothing had ever happened like that before in the theater. It's the longest running show in history. And it's mine. It's amazing. And it's the story of my life on top of it. It's amazing. And by the way, it isn't lonely at the top.
It is not lonely.
It's not. It's crowded is the truth of it. And I mean, success is hard to deal with. But it's harder. It was very hard on my family.
The success?
The people around me, the success, yes.
Why
and people get afraid
then?
Of losing you.
Because of all the competition for your time and emotion?
Yes. Well, I was running around the country. I mean, I had 5 companies of Chorus Line going at one time. That I was, you know, I was on a plane for 5 years. I didn't have time to do new things. It's why I didn't do the Chorus Line movie. That's something I did 11 years ago and worked on for years. I just let someone else do it. I mounted new things. I mean, an artist must stay fresh. You must keep that mechanism going every day and creating, or you can be in terrible trouble.
How did you become involved in Dreamgirls?
In Dreamgirls, Tom Ion and Henry Krieger, who were the writers, brought the idea to me.
How did they pitch it to you? What did they tell you?
They brought 16 songs and an outline for a story, and I put them into workshop. You see, I have a process which is called the workshop process, which is the way I did Chorus Line. And it's 4 6-week rehearsal periods, and you try out parts of the show. And you fix a show and shape a show around the performers, and without the pressure of being in a hotel room in Boston and a deadline and being in previews. And when you're satisfied with what's in the room, then you raise the $6 million and you go out and you do the musical.
Everyone describes Dreamgirls as being patterned on the story of the Supremes. How literally is it really patterned on them?
Well, the Supremes were, of course, the most successful of the girl groups. There were many, many girl groups. There were many cast changes in those girl groups. I knew the Supremes very well because I was a dancer on Hullabaloo, an assistant choreographer, and they used to do the show every 2 weeks. But it is not the story of the Supremes. Now, if it were the story of the Supremes, believe me, I would have been sued.
Was it fun being a dancer on Hullabaloo?
Was it fun? No, it was a concrete floor. Yes, it was. Of course it was. I mean, because every rock act, all the English rock acts, Sonny and Cher, and Stephen Eady and Sammy Davis were the hosts, and the guys from Uncle. I mean, you just got to know everybody. But it was a concrete floor, and we used to jump up and down and shake. And it was, you know, when the Fru came in and all of that, we used to have such headaches because we'd, you know, for 2 days we'd be in that studio. After rehearsing for 3 days, we used to do 9 or 10 numbers a week.
And Hullabaloo, you had to dance in cages sometimes, too, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. But I mean, I loved it. I just had headaches.
If you dance on Hullabaloo so much, I guess you didn't have to watch tapes to see what the girl groups and soul groups were up to in terms of their choreography.
No, I had to do no research to do Dreamgirls.
Right. What's the difference on Broadway between what the director does and what the choreographer does?
The work should be seamless. The truth is you should never know who did what. But I think director-choreographers are more successful with what has happened to the musical. Because the musical numbers, I mean, in the old days, you know, Agnes de Mille, there would be a ballet, and that was a big innovation. The ballet had something to do with the show. Because before that, there used to be this play, and then the dancing girls would come out in the middle while they changed sets behind a drop. I mean, now it's all integrated. The dancing tells, a dance number should tell as much about the plot as the next scene, like the next song does.
You've worked with Hal Prince.
Yes, I've worked with everybody, which has been wonderful. Do you know, I've worked with Burt Bacharach and Hal Prince and Alan J. Lerner and Stephen Sondheim and Richard Rodgers. I mean, to name composers, and then Neil Simon. I mean, I've been very, very fortunate, and I've learned from everybody.
Broadway director and choreographer Michael Bennett from an interview we recorded in 1985. Michael Bennett died Thursday.